So in dementia, the major issue is that it is predictable that at some point in the course of the illness that the person will have reduced ability to speak for themselves, and at some point will have no ability to provide a clear understanding to the people who are caring for them or making decisions for them about what their wishes are. The challenge is that that can happen though over a long period of time. And so care planning that happens in advance has to be revisited as things change. And what's more important is that there is a surrogate decision maker appointed by that person, and that the person spends time helping that person understand what their values and wishes are, so that there is someone who's able to interpret an individual situation when the time is needed. Rather than it just relying on something that people have written down, per se.
The first national guidelines have just been released. Do you think the federal government will take those guidelines on board about how people should plan for dementia?
I think it's an area where consumers, healthcare professionals and also government is realising it's an area that needs to be improved. Not everyone feels comfortable coming home and sitting around the dining table and saying, let's talk about the situation where I may be unwell or may not be able to make decisions for myself, or where my life expectancy is limited. We often shy away from having those conversations. So, yes, government can put policies in place. Health professionals can be better equipped in having those conversations or supporting those conversations. But we as individuals also have to be willing to take on those conversations and be part of the process.
At what point do the guidelines recommend that people start planning for the future?
So I think we all should have some general ideas, even if we are not unwell, about what our values and wishes would be, that the general principles that would guide the types of decisions that we make, our values as a person. But then really, for something which we know is a progressive illness, then these conversations should start at diagnosis. And part of the issue is in dementia is making sure that there is a timely diagnosis. You can't plan for something where you haven't been clearly explained in a way with proper assessment that that is the diagnosis and this is the particular path that illness may take. So there are many people who have cognitive impairment who remain undiagnosed for long periods of time, which doesn't allow them to be proactively engaged in the planning process for their care.
If someone was to receive a diagnosis for dementia and something that doesn't have a cure, what planning and what decisions need to be made in those initial stages?
So in the initial stages, it's really about that person understanding what particular values and wishes drive their approach to life. It may be about thinking about their financial planning, their income, where they're going to live, who's paying the mortgage, are they providing care for someone else, which is another situation that often arises. And then there are decisions around healthcare, which may be decisions around how intensive would they wish treatment to be in a situation where full recovery wasn't expected, but also where they would like to be cared for the majority of their illness, and would there be particular situations where those decisions might change. And then I think the other critical thing is to start thinking about who the best surrogate decision maker may be. And it may not be the same person for all those decisions. There might be someone in your family who's really good at organising the financial aspects, whereas someone else who might be much more comfortable taking on maybe some of the healthcare decisions.
How do you choose that person? Because it's such a big responsibility to ask someone to be that decision maker for you.
It's a complex decision. I think sometimes people think that it has to be your spouse or it has to be your firstborn son, but it's actually someone who feels confident to take on that role, who feels that they can sit and have those difficult conversations with you, and who feels that they are in a position that they would be able to, and feel that they would be able to advocate for your wishes in a situation where that was needed.
is how steadfast are the plans that people make in those initial stages? And if their minds do change in the midst of their illness, is that a factor that needs to be considered later on?
We would expect people to change their minds. And revisiting the this is not something that you write down once, you put in the cupboard to be pulled out, you know, 5 years down the track. This is about an ongoing conversation. And you don't tackle all of these questions and all of these challenges in one conversation. So it's a very iterative process. People change their mind, and the goal really is to provide them as much information and support to make the right decisions at that time, but also to equip their surrogate decision maker to understand the principles and the values and wishes underpinning that person's decision-making style and process, so that in any individual situation, which you can't predict every single one, they can make the best choices for that person at that time.
Is there a point at which the surrogate decision maker is then responsible for all of theirs, and how do you determine when that is?
So it's at the point where someone no longer has capacity. But increasingly we're understanding that for certain decisions, it's still possible to involve the person with dementia as much as possible. And so shared decision-making and supported decision-making is an area where we need to understand more so that we can involve the person with dementia in those decisions for as long as possible and as much as possible.
In questions about life support and your last decisions in life, how do you navigate the complex family politics that can come into play there while maintaining the person's initial wishes when they did make these plans?
We always ask the question, what do you think your mum might have wanted in this situation? If you ask people, what would you like for your mum? It's a slight change in wording, but it's making them put themselves in their loved one's shoes, which often changes the thinking and perspective that they make their decisions from.
So we've now got the national guidelines. What's the next step that needs to happen to ensure that people are getting the right planning done and the right care at the end of their lives and during the course of dementia?
So there's a lot of good work being undertaken in Australia at the moment around advanced care planning. A lot of that work is being based in hospitals or in residential care. So we're looking at working with some organisations much earlier in the trajectory. So working with people in community organisations and also people who deliver healthcare at home, to see if we can work out strategies to start some of these conversations earlier.